It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And he struck him out. That landed. So the first time in 4 months, the Red Sox lose three consecutive games. TC 6-3. The final, Indians take the first two.
So let me get this out of the way quickly, okay? Because I've been irritable for about a week, I think. I'm not worried about 1978. And if you are, and as soon as you start talking about it, I'm going to give you advance warning. I'm going to drop you so quickly you won't know what hit you. Okay? I'm not going to entertain. I'm not taking this show back 40 years to talk about the collapse of 1978. I'm not doing it. The Red Sox are still 8 up. They've got 35 to go. They're a good team. They're going to win the division. And what I find ironic about me taking this stance is that all year long, for about 4 months, I sat here and I told you the Red Sox aren't as good as their win total. They're a good team, but their win total's inflated because the competition sucks. And people like the guy last night, Mike and Webster, I think it was, called and told me how much of a jackass I was for saying that. Now we get to this point, and they lose three in a row for just the second time all year long. And you guys are the ones bringing up 78. I'm not bringing it up because I don't think this team's blowing the division. I think the race is over. Okay, I think the race is over and the Red Sox have won the division. The question is what they're going to look like when they get there and who they're going to be able to beat when they get there, which brings me to last night's game on multiple levels, but let's start here. You see how this is setting up, don't you? If you're a Red Sox fan, don't you see how this is setting up? Cleveland has won the first two. Fine. But no matter what happens tonight now, David Price goes to the mound tomorrow night with something at stake. No matter what happens tonight, Price either goes to the mound looking to salvage a split or avoid a sweep. One or the other. All after shooting his mouth off basically in the locker room, the clubhouse the other night, and saying, in essence, I'm back. I'm back to being who I was. The last 2.5 years had changed all kinds of stuff here with the Red Sox. Now I'm back to doing what I do. This is David Price. I even told you yesterday, over the last 17 starts, David Price, 11-2, tied for the most wins in the major leagues since May 12th, they think it is. The team is 15-2 in his starts, okay? So I look at that and I say, if you are what you say you are, David Price, boy, you better win that game tomorrow night. You better win it, no matter what, especially going against Adam Plutko, okay? Number two. And this is really the bigger picture story, bigger picture issue. That guy, Mike and Webster, who really pissed me off last night. Because, again, one thing that I hate more than anything else is somebody taking something I said and twisting it around. So according to him, all I've said all year long is how bad the Red Sox bullpen has been. And I can understand how it might be construed that way. What I've said is, I don't know if their bullpen is good enough to win it. That's what I have said. And the two games in this series should illustrate to you the difference in managers when you have a bullpen that you believe in and a bullpen you don't. So go back to the opener of the series when Rick Porcello was on the mound in a 3-3 game, and we all started asking the question, boy, should Alex Cora have brought in Matt Barnes in that game before Porcello gave up the two-run homer to blow the game? Should he have done it there? And you know what? There was indecision there, and a lot of us disagreed on it. And you know why we disagreed? Because we don't believe in the Red Sox bullpen. I still don't believe in the Red Sox bullpen. On the other hand, Terry Francona with the Indians, you know what he does when he has a lead in the late innings? Miller in the eighth, Hand in the ninth. No questions asked. They get the ball done. It's clear. It's apparent. They win the matchups. They have the better pitchers, and they get the key outs. And the reason I mentioned that last night, that is what the end of a well-closed game is supposed to look like. That. Remember that? Boy, it's been a long time since the Red Sox had closed a game like that. But do you remember what it looks like? Cleveland relievers last night, Andrew Miller and Brad Hand, faced seven batters. They went 0 for 7. The only guy who reached base was Bogarts, who hit a pop-up that, honestly, I started to wonder whether Jason Kipnis had some sort of psychological, mental issue. I don't know what. I don't know how he missed the ball. It was a routine pop-up to second base. Jason Kipnis looked like he had vertigo. He missed the ball completely, basically, on an infield pop. 0 for 7, four strikeouts against Miller and Hand. Not a ball left the infield. Not one. There were a couple of groundouts in there, the pop-up that fell for the error, and four strikeouts. The Red Sox didn't hit a ball out of the infield. And the guys they sent up there during that sequence, Betts, Benintendi, J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Mitch Moreland. There were also two guys at the bottom of the order. But the bottom line is that you sent your best hitters up against their bullpen, and Cleveland shoved the bats down your throat. Okay? That is what a well-closed game looks like. That's what a championship-caliber bullpen looks like. They get the ball. They mow you down. It doesn't matter what the hitters are like in the box. It's show up, take three, sit down. That's what it is. So you tell me today, you still think the Red Sox bullpen's that good? Because I don't. I mean, if it wasn't illustrated to you last night, I don't know when it will be. 617-779-0985. We're going to start there tonight. And again, I told you, I'd really rather not relive 1978. Okay? If you want to go there, depending on the mood I'm in when I take the call, and you have something relevant to say as it pertains to this year's team, fine. The Red Sox aren't going to blow the division, though. I promise. Matt's in Acton.
Hey, Tony. How you doing?
Good.
All right. So the other day, I think it was yesterday, you and Mike were kind of making fun of Brazier for, you know, being in Japan for a couple years. And when I look at the numbers, you know, him and Okajima kind of have the same numbers coming in and being a 30-year-old rookie.
So, you know, Matt, let me just
say, I don't think it's offensive to be a 30-year-old rookie.
No. So just let me interrupt for a second. We weren't making fun of Brazier for being in Japan. What we were saying was it's hard to have faith in Brazier when he's got very limited major league experience. And he was in Japan, and now basically he's a rookie in the big leagues at age 30. So that's just a hard guy to have confidence in the eighth inning of a playoff game.
Oh, I agree with you. But if you spin the wheel of bums, you know, I think Jim Murray would hope that, you know, it, you know, gets on that one slice of Brazier because everybody else gives up a run every inning.
Okay, so Matt, look, maybe you're right.
After the weekend, he looked good, and it felt like they had some trust in him, but for whatever reason, they haven't used him at all in this Cleveland series so far.
I don't even think he's been up, Murray, has he?
To warm up? No, I don't think so.
So again, you've had two relatively low-scoring games. You know, I say low-scoring, close competitive games in the late innings. 5-4, it was 5-3, you know, 3-3 going into the seventh the other night. And then last night is a 6-3 game, ultimately. The Red Sox rallied late to make it a game, but it's not like it was a blowout. And Brazier hasn't been up in either one, right? Brazier hasn't been up in either game. So one of the things I do wonder here is whether Dave Dombrowski wants Alex Cora to use Brazier, and Cora doesn't want to do it because Cora doesn't believe in him. And again, I'm reading into that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not over there every
day. Which
is
weird because he was super complimentary about him after Friday night's game. Cora, I'm talking about.
So maybe they're headed there. Maybe they're looking for a true save situation and a setup situation to get the ball to Kimbrel, and that's when we're going to see Brazier. Maybe that's when we'll get some understanding of it. But I would tell you, as a follower of the Red Sox, the important things to focus on in this series are the nature of the games, who's getting the ball and when, and what's happening in the late innings when both teams are going with their best. That's the takeaway in this series. If you're worried about the division, you have every right to be. I think you're worrying for nothing. Okay? But if that's the way you are, then fine, worry. You can worry about it. I'm telling you, that's not what I'm taking out of these games. I'm looking at the key moments in the late innings against good competition, which is really what I've been looking at with the Red Sox all year, because I think ultimately that's what's going to tell us, if anything, how they're going to do in October. If anything can tell us how the Red Sox will perform in the playoffs, it's those big moments in the late innings against good teams. That's when we find something out. And so far in this series, Cleveland to me looks like a team to be feared in the playoffs. Remember, when we were handicapping all of these teams and doing the power rankings of the four best teams in the American League, Cleveland was fourth. Cleveland was fourth on most people's lists. Most. And they've taken the first two from you, and they got a guy going to the mound tonight who's been as hot as any pitcher in the big leagues. So we'll give you the particulars on that. We'll compare bullpens. We'll take your calls. We'll do all that when we come back.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This Red Sox team at 88 victories, but trailing 6-3 here in the bottom of the eighth inning. Old friend, the left-hander Andrew Miller coming on. And the 2-2. And he puts him away.
Yeah, that slider, it almost just stops.
Mookie Betts on deck. Swung on and missed strike three. Back-to-back K's.
Oh, this guy is the slingster, man, with that slider.
Brad Hand is their closer tonight. Benintendi, 2-for-3, a double and a single. And a 2-2. And he struck him out.
You can see why they wanted to get this Brad Hand.
Oh, yeah. And with a 1-2. And he struck him out. That'll end it. So the first time in 4 months, the Red Sox lose three consecutive games. TC, 6-3. The final Indians take the first two.
That Cleveland bullpen was the story last night. One of them, anyway. Maybe the biggest one in that game. But let me ask you all a very simple question, okay? If the Red Sox get swept in this series by the Indians, does it erase the sweep of the Yankees? And I don't mean mathematically in the standings. I'm saying for people like me, when they beat New York and they swept them and they opened up that huge gap and made it clear that they were the team in the league, if not the division, okay, that they emphatically sort of stepped on the Yankees' throats, my opinion of the Red Sox changed a little. It went up a notch. Okay, it went up. If Cleveland now comes in here and shuts them down and beats them the way they beat them last night, do you lose some of that again? I still think the Red Sox are winning the division now. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in terms of how you perceive them, does it take away what the Yankee series gained? Jared is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jared.
Can't believe I'm going to say this, Matt, but for the first time, I agree with you. Totally suspect, this team. And we get into the playoffs against in Oakland, they'll smack the ball all over our bullpen. There's just no way. There's no way we're going to be able to sustain. And I want them to win. I love this team. I want them to win as a fan. But...
Okay, so Jared, look, here's what I would tell you. I'm not saying that there's no way they can win. I'm not saying that. Of course they can win. And look at how many games they've won all year, and I know it's different in October, and maybe they've changed. Maybe they've grown. Maybe J.D. Martinez makes an impact. Maybe Bogarts and Betts and even Bradley will play better this October. Maybe Chris Sale's fully healthy. There's really no issue there. Maybe David Price finally figures it out. Maybe any one of a million of those things could happen, and they win in October. I don't rule that out. I'm just telling you, don't expect me to have a ridiculously high level of confidence when they haven't done it before, just based on what they've done in a regular season during a year in which the league really sucks. Okay, so that's all. Now, again, I just think it's normal to have doubt. That's what I think. It's normal to have doubt. And this team has given you reason to doubt it, despite the 88-37 record or whatever the hell it is. There's enough there. Or it's 88-38, whatever it is. Tim's in his car. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Maz, how you doing?
Good.
The Red Sox won't win the World Series. They're going to lose in the playoffs, first or second round, because you have two hitters in the lineup, Mookie and JD, who are so far consistently been hitting the ball. Now, in the playoffs, you face good pitching. The pitching is going to, if they silence those two bats, then they have no shot. And then, so the other pitchers, who are they going to fear? JBJ, Sandy? I mean, it's just good pitching wins in October. And I don't see the Red Sox winning at all in the playoffs, first or second round. Also, Big Jim, indica or sativa?
Sativa, sir.
There you go. That's an easy one. Murray, you can explain to everybody what that is at another time, or maybe bit later. Maybe we'll do it later in the show.
No, it's fine. You can just find me on Twitter.
Jimmy, save that call.
To answer the question that you're throwing out there just real quick, though, like even if they end up getting swept by Cleveland in this series, I'm not going to think any less of them. If anything, it might be a dose of reality for the team and a lot of fans that have gotten so whipped up into this team and what they've accomplished this far, because a lot of it came from them beating up on non-contenders. You know, I didn't like, you mentioned yesterday, you played that clip about Mookie Betts, you know, or going into this series, like, you know, like saying, like, we're a good team, too. And Chris Sale over the weekend referring to this team as, like, you know, the greatest team ever. Like, slow it down a little bit here, guys. Like, I think you're reading your press clippings a little bit too much. You've gotten whipped up into the fact you keep beating up on the likes of, you know, your Tampas, your Orioles, and every other terrible team in your division and in the American League. So they might need this a little bit. It could be a good dose of reality for them and the fans.
So I just, again, to me, these games the last couple of nights, they sort of have, you know, rekindled some of the doubt. That's all. And again, I think some of that's normal. Some of that, I think, can make you better. And this gets a little bit into the comments that Alex Cora made about how he doesn't feel they need to lose to be better. Like, he thinks that theory is crazy. I don't. I think that every team, somewhere along the line, encounters a stretch where all of a sudden their mental toughness and their resiliency really gets tested. And that only happens when you get beaten down a little bit. Okay, when you're 88-37, it's hard for that to happen. You need to lose five in a row and get your ass kicked a little bit before you really find what you're made of. And remember, in 07, the Red Sox basically went to wire. They fell behind the Indians 3-1 in the LCS before they came back and won. That's when we found out. And if you think I'm full of it, I remember Curt Schilling standing in the middle of the clubhouse that night and saying, you know, we really haven't been tested all year long. I got more stories about that if you care, Murray, because the manager of that team aired me out when I suggested in August that they hadn't been tested. That was Terry Francona. 2 months later, Schilling in the playoffs agreed with me. Rick's in Acton. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, Maz. Love you, buddy. Just one thing. Isn't tomorrow an afternoon game?
It is 1 o'clock.
Okay. Not to bust your stones, but you kept on saying on how David Price has to pitch really well tomorrow night.
No, I misspoke. Just out of habit, Rick.
I totally get it. But I also wanted to give you two thumbs up. One, you beat yourself up on being so negative. Yesterday, you were 100% positive that Chris Sale has no ass.
Yeah, well, you know, Rick, that one's not necessarily debatable. Take a good look at him. Talk about paper thin. Holy crap. Like, all the good starters, I mean, all the durable starters, really, look at them. It's all in their legs and ass. Sale, oh, my gosh, popsicle sticks and toothpicks. That's what he's built out of. Dan's in Cranston. Dan, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing, Maz?
Good.
All right. I don't take away what they did during the year, but I feel no more confident right now going into the playoffs than they would any of the past couple of years for the same reasons. One, and most important, you got a guy, Sale, who has never finished strong. His career in September and October is 11-18 with an ERA just north of 4. And here it is late in August, he's on the shelf and nobody knows how he is. How can you feel confident about that? And David Price is the same thing. He's never done it. And it's the same story. Eighth inning, we got nobody there. People is calling in and telling you, oh, they're still working on it. You shouldn't be working on anything this time of year. It should be set and good to go.
Well, see, Dan, this is how I feel. Now, again, that was my point last night. That when the Porcello game happened in the opener, and Porcello's still on the mound, and everyone's saying, well, who do you go to? When do you change? Do you keep Porcello in? Do you stretch him a little? Do you tug at it? And you know what the reality is? You do that because you don't have a set plan or a plan you're confident in after the sixth inning. If you believed in your bullpen, Porcello probably wouldn't even go out for the seventh. So this is the difference between being Terry Francona and being Alex Cora. And I don't necessarily hold Cora accountable for it. I just don't think they have the guys that a manager would believe in. As a manager, in the eighth inning, you know what you want? A guy that throws strikes, doesn't pitch to contact because he blows people away and doesn't walk people. That's right. And the Red Sox don't have it. So every guy he sends out there does the same thing and causes him stress. So again, just contrast how the Red Sox relievers pitch. Forget everything I've ever said. Just contrast how the Red Sox relievers pitch versus how Miller and Brad Hand looked on the mound last night for Cleveland. Two innings, no hits, no walks, four strikeouts, seven batters, 0-for-7. The only one who reached base did so because Jason Kipnis looked like he was drunk on a pop-up. That was it. Not a ball got out of the infield. Not one. Murray's Get Your Headlines. We'll give you the latest numbers on the Red Sox versus the quality teams in the American League. We'll do that when we come back.
Sports Hub Headlines.
So ahead of Friday night's third preseason game against the Carolina Panthers, today the New England Patriots released veteran wide receiver Kenny Britt. That hamstring injury he suffered in early June has prevented him from fully participating in any training camp practices or playing in either of New England's first two preseason games, so he is gone. Britt, the third Patriots receiver to be released this summer, joining Jordan Matthews and Malcolm Mitchell. Now, at practice today, running back Sony Michel, offensive tackle Marcus Cannon, linebacker Harvey Lange, and tight end Ryan Izzo, all absent after also missing practice the last couple of days. Wide receiver Julian Edelman, he was there. He, of course, missing the first four games of the regular season due to that PED suspension, but he was asked how he's been progressing from rehabbing his knee injury that he sustained in the third preseason game last year in Detroit.
I think, I'm a week better than last week. You know, still always trying to improve. I'm still always trying to get better. That's what training camp's for, so we'll see.
In other NFL news, the Kansas City Chiefs have released running back Charcandrick West. And the Red Sox continue their four-game series against the Cleveland Indians tonight. Brian Johnson on the mound against the Indians righty Carlos Carrasco. Some lineup tweaks. The Red Sox are going to start Blake Swihart at catcher. J.D. Martinez also batting cleanup after hitting third in last night's 6-3 loss. New York Yankees placing closer Aroldis Chapman on the 10-day DL today with left knee tendonitis, a day after he left the Yankees 2-1 win over the Marlins after just throwing six pitches in the top of the 12th. Headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. They have nine real-size entrees for just $9.99, like their hand-breaded crispy fish tacos. The 99, always the real deal. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5. Sports Hub. Next update, 30 minutes.
From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The baseball reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sometimes I hear people saying that it'll be good for them if they start losing. I don't believe in that one. I don't. What good comes out of that? You know, losing? No. I mean, even winning, we're learning about our team. Even, you know, we've been playing good baseball, and we know that base running had to be better, and it's been better. Certain situations, we have to be better. I mean, there's a lot of learning when you win. I know there's learning when you're losing, but the whole thing about, like, they need to go through a bad stretch. Not really. You know, no. People don't like to lose, and they're being very disciplined as far as like what we need to do on a daily basis to avoid losing streaks or get caught up on the winning.
It's Alex Cora talking about what we talked about earlier, and again, to me, this isn't about, you know, losing games because it just for the sake of losing. Like, to me, it's about getting knocked down a little bit, having your confidence punctured, and then being able to sort of rally anyway and fight through it. Okay, and then so that even when you doubt yourself, you can still perform at a high level. And I just don't know if the Red Sox have really had that moment yet this year. They started out 17-2. They've basically been, you know, lapping the field the whole time. Now, and again, there was a time there where the Yankees kept pace. They're not keeping pace anymore. Houston's not keeping pace anymore. And even though the Red Sox have lost three in a row, which is the second time this year, to me, sometimes you need to really be knocked down before you sort of say, okay, I'm going to get up and just start winning again. And that is when you find out about the real makeup. Okay, that's my only point as it pertains to that. And I told you this earlier, and again, I'll make it fast because we generally don't do the whole story time. In 07, the Red Sox pretty much went wire to wire. It was mid-August. The team was in Chicago against the White Sox. And I remember writing something to the effect of, you know, when you think about it, they really have been tested. The next day, Francona aired me out in his office. You really think we haven't been tested? He said, this is the big leagues. We're tested every day. And I said, well, relative to other teams in other years, you haven't had the same kind of adversity. And then I told you, they got to the LCS. They were down 3-1 to the Indians. And Schilling stood there and he said, well, we're going to find out now because the reality is we really haven't been tested all year long. So now we'll find out how good we are. And they won the World Series. They came back and beat the Indians and then they swept the Rockies. Okay, so if this team has what it takes, they'll do something similar. Brian's in his car, wants to talk about available relievers here at the playoff eligibility deadline. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Tony. So I know we touched on it before the actual non-waiver trade deadline. But with their recent fire sale, do you see the Red Sox trying to get Kelvin Herrera with a little cheaper price just coming off the disabled list and, you know, a little less time left in the year?
So, Brian.
And also, I want to know about Bobby Pointer. Why aren't they giving him even more of a chance? He did pretty well while he was up here.
Okay, so look, on Pointer, I can't answer. I haven't followed Pointer. But before I let you go, with regard to Herrera, oh, God, I hope so.
I mean,
go ahead.
I can't see him costing too much. I mean, maybe a lower-level prospect seeing, you know, they just got rid of Daniel Murphy, who, in my opinion, is one of their better players on that team. And you got rid of Matt Adams. I can't see it costing too much to acquire somebody with, you know, just the remainder of the year on their contract.
Okay, so, Brian, look, it in terms of the acquisition costs, it shouldn't be high. The problem is that anybody who's looking for a reliever is probably going to block Herrera from getting through. So I looked it up yesterday. Herrera's salary, I think, is just under $9 million. So it's going to be about, call it $1.5 million, $2 million left. And the Red Sox can absorb that. And I think they have in the minor leagues what it takes to be able to get him for only a month. Okay, the acquisition cost should not be through the roof. The problem is it's not going to be through the roof for anybody. And because they have the best record in the majors, they're going to have last dibs at him on the waiver wire. If no one claims him and he gets through, well, then fine. Sure, they can trade for him. But if you were Houston or you were even Cleveland with all the bullpen help that they have, if the salary is so low and you don't have to give up a ton to get him, why wouldn't you bring him in? Not to mention the other teams in the National League. Herrera's going to be the toughest guy to move of the guys that the Nationals have moved. Daniel Murphy has some value, but there's still a sizable salary there. You know, you're paying a decent chunk of money, but he's a position player. A reliever? I would argue a reliever has more value than any other guy at this time of year. Brian's in Easton. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Tony. I see the Red Sox as a team that's very similar to the 01 Mariners. I was wondering your opinion on that. A good regular season team, good lineup, maybe a suspect to reasonable bullpen, but not a great bullpen. And the Mariners lost to the Yankees in the ALCS in my recollection, a couple close games. So I know you just talked about getting tested, and I think that Mariners team kind of blew everyone out of the water all year and then couldn't close the door in October. So I wonder what you thought about that.
So, look, it's a reasonable comparison to make at this stage, depending on what the Red Sox do in October. If they get to October and they fail, well, then we'll compare them to the 01 Mariners. If they get to the October and win, there are going to be people who compare him to the 98 Yankees, which I still think is stupid, by the way. Okay, the 98 Yankees were in a stretch there where they won the first of three straight titles and they won 4 in 5 years. So I'm not going there. But the 01 Mariners, I'll tell you what I find interesting about that comparison is if you go and look at it, the 01 Mariners didn't have the roster you think they did. I mean, they had a good sound team. But they hardly had the world beaters that they had in the mid-90s when, honestly, they were better. Griffey, Buehner, A-Rod, Randy Johnson, Edgar Martinez. How that team didn't get to a World Series or even win one is beyond me. And mostly it was bullpen, okay, because Lou Piniella didn't know how to handle a bullpen. But the 0-1 team, Ichiro, who is dynamite, but let's face it, not a middle-of-the-order bat. Brett Boone, who should have been the league MVP that year. And then it was Carlos Guillen was the shortstop, if I remember right. David Bell was at third base. I think Olerud was at first. They had guys on the mound like Paul Abbott, Aaron Seeley, Jamie Moyer, who was good, but there was no historic type of pitcher there. They were just a really good, sound, deep team, but they didn't really have a ton of superstar talent. Nick is in Belmont.
Hey, Matt. Yeah, I missed you, man. Hope the summer's going well.
You too.
I think this series has been very, very interesting for me. I haven't really kind of walked away with any new conclusions. I think I'm still very high on the Sox. If anything, I've just kind of been going through in my head on paper the matchup that I anticipate if we were to see them in the playoffs. So, you know, if you look at the hitting, advantage Sox. If you go to closer.
Okay, so Nick, I'd like to avoid doing a position by position thing other than to tell you this. If you're going to see Cleveland, it won't be till the LCS. Cleveland is going to win the Central, and they're going to either finish second or third in overall record, which means they will play the winner from the West. No matter whether they finish second or third, doesn't matter. And when I say second or third, I mean in the league standings. The Red Sox are going to have the best record in the league. And then it's going to be Boston, Houston, Cleveland, and or the West winner. Boston, the West, Cleveland, or Boston, Cleveland, the West. Either way, Cleveland plays the winner from the West. Okay? So either way. And actually, that might be the best case scenario if Oakland wins the West. You'd face Cleveland in the LCS, and you wouldn't have to face you'd only have to play the Yankees or Houston in the division series. I mean, you know, think of that scenario, by the way. If Houston wins the West and the Yankees lose the play-in, you could get to the World Series without playing New York or Houston. Okay, but don't count out Cleveland. That bullpen is legit. Meanwhile, last night, Michael Kopech made his major league debut for the Chicago White Sox. If you don't remember, Kopech he's the pitching prospect the Red Sox sent to Chicago with Yoan Moncada and the Chris Sale deal. We'll tell you how that went when we come back.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.